Today I'm gonna do just a one-time message. You know, last week we celebrated Jesus. But Jesus was no more alive last week, right? It wasn't like we just celebrate the resurrection one time. We as followers of Jesus have the greatest hope, and that is the same Jesus that rose from the grave is the same Jesus that through the power of the Holy Spirit is active in our lives today. The question I have for you is, now what? What do we do with this information? What do we do with the Jesus that is risen, that has conquered death, hell, and the grave? I love what we're going to look at today. If you have your Bible, turn to John chapter 20. If not, it'll be on the screen behind me. But I just want us to join together. This is spectacular what Jesus is getting ready to do, okay? So follow along. I'm just going to pull out some nuggets out of this, and I can't wait to see what God speaks to you in your life. It says this, John 20, on the evening of the first day of the week, so this is still resurrection day. Jesus had been resurrected. They had went and tried to find him, and they're like, so this is still the first day of the week. It's fresh. And when the disciples were together, this is important, with the doors locked for fear of Jewish leaders, Jesus came and stood among them and said, Shalom, peace be with you. And after he had said this, he showed them his hands and his side. The disciples were overjoyed when they saw the Lord. Again, Jesus said, peace be with you, or shalom. As the Father has sent me, I am sending you. And with that, here we go, he breathed on them and said, receive the Holy Spirit. And if you forgive anyone's sins, their sins are forgiven. And if you do not forgive them, they are not forgiven. I totally want us to unpack this today. You see, there's one thing that after we read, we have to understand is this. Jesus is still resurrecting lives today. Jesus is still performing miracles in our lives today. Peter and some of the other disciples had actually already seen the empty tomb. And Mary Magdalene had seen Jesus and passed on his message to the disciples that he was soon to return to the Father. The disciples had not yet realized that Jesus had risen from the dead, and they were still afraid of what Jewish leaders might do to them as his followers and secluded themselves behind locked doors. I actually love the scene here. Disciples are scared for their lives. They're scared for their future. They're scared for everything they held dear. Think about this. They had given up a lot to follow Jesus. Most of the disciples probably were just teenagers, okay? They would have been younger people. We know by their profession, by what they did, a lot of them would have been younger people. And they have given up, many of them had left their family, left a career, left a following of people. Some were following John the Baptist, and they were trying to find the right answer. But watch this. They had given up so much to follow Jesus. And everything they held dear hung on a cross and died. Could you imagine? I know there are even some things in my life, small things that I feel like God has asked me to give to him. And it was hard. But I believe that for some of us in this room, I don't know who needs to hear this. I didn't say this in the first service. I just feel led to say this right now. There is someone in this room today that God has asked you again a re-ask for something dynamic. I believe he asks all of us for our lives. You have a specific call in your life, and I feel like God is having me share with you today, it's time to walk in that calling. But they had given up so much. Now here they are. The scene is crazy. They've seen Jesus do amazing things, right? They were young, they loved Jesus. But they were like, hey, man, it was like following Jesus was like following a rock star. I can only imagine, right? When I was in my teen years or even early 20s, following someone like that would have been so exciting. Could you imagine the scene? Like, hey, what's he going to do next? Do you remember that time? That guy was dead and he called them out of the grave. You remember that time where he spit in the ground? Crazy. Put it in his eyes and he received sight. Remember that time blind Bartimaeus was by the side of the road and Jesus said, receive your sight? Like, It would have been so exciting, but that excitement now would turn to pure terror and fear. They were hiding because they were afraid what was going to happen next. They had given up so much to follow Jesus. But I have good news for you today. Their fear and your fear is not a barrier for Jesus to still move. Right? Like, it's still not a barrier for Jesus to move. If I'm Jesus, and thankfully for them, I'm not, they're hiding in that room, I'm like straight up Kool-Aid man. I'm kicking down the door. Hey, chickens! It's me. You saw me. I told you I was going to die, and you're in here hiding? What are you doing? That's me. Aren't you thankful that you and me are not the Savior, because things would look a lot different? No, he didn't use their fear as a barrier. Listen, what did he say again? On the evening of the first day of the week, when the disciples were together with the doors locked for fear of the Jewish leaders, Jesus came and stood among them and said, "Peace be with you." This is one of the greatest narratives of our Savior, that even in our lowest moments, he's still willing to move in our lives. Even in our moments of biggest denials and betrayals, he's still there to love us and show us what it is to serve him. I am so thankful that even today, my fear and uncertainty doesn't keep me from truly encountering Jesus. Like his emergence from his tomb, this act demonstrated that his resurrected state, he was no longer bound by earthly limits. It's so hard sometimes following Jesus, even though I know in my heart he still performs miracles. Even in my heart, I know that he's still doing great things in the earth. There are times that in my own life, I limit what God can do because of lack of belief, lack of faith. James, the half-brother of Jesus, says, if we lack wisdom, we should pray, right? But when we pray, we should have no disbelief. Because if we have disbelief, we're like a ship tossed to and fro. So there is a level of faith that we serve in, but the Bible says faith is a mustard seed, which is one of the smallest seeds. I love the story of the prodigal son, where he literally spends all of his father's money. Jesus is telling the story, and he goes off and he squanders it all. He loses it all. And finally, one day he comes to his senses and realizes, don't the servants in my father's house have something good? You want to know how much God loves you today? You ready for this? When the prodigal son made one step towards the father closed the gap and ran to him and closed the gap. For some of us today, the beautiful narrative of the gospel is that Jesus is waiting for us just to trust a little, and he'll close the gap. I don't know anyone in my life that loves like that. I don't know how to love like that. But he loves you so much that if you'll move to him, the disciples were hiding, and Jesus literally told them, "Shalom, peace be with you." He is not bound by earthly limits. He is not bound by your past mistakes. He is not bound by what you used to be. You might be here today, and this is your first Sunday here, and you're like, these people are crazy. Right? We are a little bit. Not me, these people up here. I'm very normal. Right? And you might be here today, and you're like, I just don't know about this. Like, why are they so excited? Why are they singing so loud? Why? What is this? Here's what it is. For me, the reason I can worship and not worry about anybody around me is because I know what I used to be before Jesus. I know what Jesus has done in my life. And I'm not here to worry about everybody else's thoughts around me or worry about my reputation. I am someone that Jesus, literally, the wages of sin is death. Jesus took my literal state of spiritually dead, and because he died and rose, allowed me to come to life spiritually. I have too much to worship about to be standing there worrying about what everybody else thinks about me. I'm thankful. I'm thankful that my fear and uncertainty doesn't stop me from encountering Jesus. Some of you need to realize today, you don't have to have it all figured out for Jesus to move. Matter of fact, sometimes it's easier just to rest and who he is and let him sort out the details. I hear people say, you need to have a 10-year plan in your life. I promise you 10 years ago, I had no idea this is what my life would look like. Anybody else feel like that? I'm all about planning. I believe in planning for the future, but I also know that when God wants to move, he can move. But it's going to keep moving here. Let's keep emerging on into the story. In John 13, Jesus told the disciples, here's what you're going to do. A time is coming, and in fact it's come now, when you will be scattered, each to your own home, and you will leave me all alone. Yet I am not alone, for my Father is with me. Hear what Jesus was saying. As long as I know why I'm here and what I'm doing, I don't need a large crowd to connect with my Father. I don't need all that. Listen, I want to do life in community, but there are times I have to realize that I have to be about my Father's business. Prior to his death, Jesus told his disciples here they would be scattered. And when he was arrested, he told the soldiers to let his disciples go. And he was taken alone to the high priest, eventually to Pilate, to be condemned to death. The disciples, and especially Peter, denied him three times, and there would be deep feelings of shame and abandonment that Jesus felt in his hour of need. They felt shame. He felt abandonment. And when Jesus appeared to them behind locked doors, his greeting them with peace be with you. This is beautiful. He was showing them that their failures, he wasn't holding against them. Rather, he was offering them a restored relationship. Jesus doesn't offer you condemnation. He offers you restoration. He died for you. He rose for you. He gave his Holy Spirit to live inside of you. We're going to talk about that in a minute. And because of that, he's come to restore you. Listen, no matter where you stand today with God, today can be different. And if you're here and you've been following Jesus for years, I promise you there are depths of yourself that God is asking for. I know many of you have heard me say this before, but it's easy in our walk with Jesus to say, God, I want more of you. But I think the true theological prayer is, God, I want to give more of myself to you. Serving Jesus is not a passive thing. Jesus appeared to his disciples, and he doesn't just leave them in that current state. He had a plan for their life. One thing I love about this is Jesus is still in the restoration business. He is still in the restoration business. He appears to them, and after he said this, he showed them his hands and his side. By showing them the nail prints in his hands and the spear wounds in his side, Jesus removed any doubt that the one that stood before them in this locked room was Jesus, crucified but now risen. Jesus told them again in John 13, I'm not alone, for my Father is with me. Jesus was showing them what it says in Ephesians chapter 5, verse 1, be imitators of God. How do we imitate God? As dearly beloved children. I'm a dad, 5 kids, and you know you love your kids. My daughter had a swing choir thing last night in Branson. We left Branson last night at 10:30, left Branson. And I had to take my son back to college, but I'm here today. So if I don't make any sense, you're like, oh, this is different, huh? Dad, knock it off. I'm here because I love you guys. But so we do all these things for our kids because we love them, but also realize that imitation is the sincerest form of flattery. My son is 7, and he's like mini me to a point. So like my wife, I'll tell you, when I watch a game, we'll be watching the Masters today. He loves golf, and he loves the Chiefs, and yep, right? I think it's over, but is that pretty big? But we'll see what happens. But when we watch sports, he does what I do. So he'll be like, I'll just see him pacing the house, just like I do. Right? During the Super Bowl, I was a mess. And he'll be yelling at the TV like, oh, come on. He calls Patrick Mahomes by his first name like they're good friends. He's like, come on, Patrick, we can do this. But he also picks up some other habits. We were in Branson yesterday, and if you ever drive in Branson, it's like, We need to take some driver's license from some people. It's like, it's you half a mile between the next car and they just wait. And I just can't, I can't. I'm sorry, I don't have that. I'm not advanced as some of you in your relationship with Jesus. I was so frustrated. This is a true story. He's in the very back of our minivan. If you don't have a mom mobile, you have more than three kids, you're missing out. So we're in the minivan, and all of a sudden from the back seat, my seven-year-old yells before I can even do, come on and go already. I was like, never been so proud, right? That's my boy, Hercules, right? You complete me, all these things. Like, I was so excited, but right? But our kids pick up on our mannerisms because they want to be like us. The Bible talks about the love and the just the way that a child sees faith. This week, I did a funeral. We were talking about a young lady in her early 30s that passed away of cancer. And she has a second grade son that goes here at Oak Grove. And we had just, right, I was doing the service of the celebration of life on Thursday. And I was a mess. And I have a kid that age. And no boy is meant to be raised without their mama. And no mama is meant to be right to be sick. It's just so layers. Some of you that have dealt with cancer, you know, it's just, I've walked many people through it. I can't imagine what that's like. But mom passed away. And any time during the service, I would look his way. My wife was here. Pastor Danny was here. I would just start crying. And I would literally like that kind of crying. I'm like, I have to do this, right? I'm the only one up here talking. I can't do this. And then he had a song special, and I'm done. I'm a wreck. I'm trying, and I had met with her, and she's like, here's what I want in my service, and, you know, just lift up Jesus. So I'm like, lifting up Jesus. Every time I would look at Titus, I would just, so the service is over. And everybody had left. It's just the family, me, and we're over here just hanging out. And I could tell Titus was like, kind of hovering around me. It was like, I didn't know him real good, but so I'm like, I could tell he wanted to talk to me, but he just didn't know what to say. So I'm like, hey, buddy, you know, like we start talking, what do you like to do? And he's like, oh, I like Madden and Minecraft and playing outside. I could tell he was wanting to tell me something. I don't know. I didn't get emotional in the first service. For some reason, you guys just do it to me. But he walks over and the family moved away. He sits right next to me. And he looks me right in the eyes. This is the moment I'm supposed to be comforting him. And he saw that I was upset. And he wanted to comfort me. And he looked me right in the eyes and he said this. My dad and me, we live a really good life. It was like his way of telling me, we're going to be okay. I know you're upset, but we're as a family, we're going to do this. And it was over, right? I was just like, oh, buddy, yeah, you know, you, like, you know, let's, I lost it. And I'm trying to talk to him. And then he just gets up and walks away and goes and plays with his cousins. And I thought, what a beautiful sight of the faith of the child to trust. Me and dad and me, we're going to do this. That's a beautiful picture of the gospel. I don't have it all together. There could be some bad things that happen, but as long as I got dad, we're going to figure this out. See, some of you are trying to do this without following your heavenly father. Now, this can get wonky because some of you are like, yeah, but you don't know my earthly father. Like, it's hard for you to see God, your father, in a positive light because you haven't had a good example on the earth. But just know, he is so passionate about you. And he's not mad at you. He's mad about you. And he loves you. And he provided a way for you to walk in relationship with him. But we're going to get to, it's not all just kumbaya. I still believe, though, that God has a standard for our life also. We're going to get to that. But just know today, someone needs to know this. You're here today. Maybe someone invited you or you're just like, but just know that he loves you. And even if you're a believer, no matter what you're facing right now, things might seem hard, but just know he'll never leave you and he'll never forsake you. I don't know why I'm saying this. None of this was in the first service. I just felt to take a little different direction here, but somebody here needs to hear that. He's got a plan for your life. He's not done with you. and the situation seems hopeless. The disciples felt hopeless. They felt hopeless. In John 16, 20, he said this, "Very truly I tell you, we will weep and mourn while the world rejoices. You will grieve, but your grief will turn to joy." In verse 21, Jesus repeated his greeting, "Shalom, peace be with you." This time it came, I love this, with the commission for his disciples. Instead of condemning them for their failures, he recommissioned them. Now, here's where he's like, all right, I provided a way. I love you. I know you're all hiding, but I need you to walk in your calling. You want to know a life that doesn't feel fulfilled? It's a life walking outside of the calling that God has on your life. That's unfulfilled. And Jesus is going to return soon. He's returning for his church, not New Life, the church, the big C. We're going to stand before a holy God. We're going to give an account for our lives. If you're a follower of Jesus, you're going to stand in front of something that we call the judgment seat of Christ. And we're going to give an account for what did we do with what God placed in our hands, our giftings, our talents, our abilities. I love that in this moment, Jesus wasn't like, "You failures." Like, "You failures." No, he recommissioned them. "I love you enough. Let's get back to doing what you've been called to do. It's been hard. You've been through a lot of traumatic events, but let's get back to you walking in what I've called you to be." Again, Jesus said, "Peace be with you. As the Father has sent me, I am sending you." Even in his resurrection body, Jesus was still following the will of his Father. I pray that we never lose sight of the will of our heavenly Father. In John 14, Jesus says, "Verily I tell you, whoever believes in me will do the works I have been doing, and they will even do greater things than these because I am going to the Father." What does it look like to do the will of the Father? It has to do with being full of the Holy Spirit. Being full of the Spirit of God. Understanding what he wants you. John 15 says, "You did not choose me, but I chose you and appointed you so that you might go and bear fruit. Fruit that lasts, and that whatever you ask in my name, the Father will give to you." If you're a follower of Jesus, your life should be about bearing fruit. Right? Not being you're a fruit, being crazy, but bearing fruit, making a difference, having an impact on the world. But in John chapter 20, it says this. And how do we do this? What does this look like? How can we have, in all of our failures and doubts, truly leave a lasting impact? John 20 says this. "And with that, he breathed on them and said, receive the Holy Spirit." In this context, this word "breathe" is really only used here, but it's used more in a Hebrew sense. Now, it's a different word. A lot of times when we think of air or breath in the Hebrew, in the lexicon, it would be the word ruach, which is like air, breath of God. This is a little different. Imagine this. God creates Adam from the dust of the ground. And Adam is laying on the ground, lifeless. The Bible says that God, Genesis, right, breathed life in him. Genesis chapter 2 says, "And the Lord God formed a man from the dust of the ground and breathed into his nostrils the breath of life. And the man became a living being." Right? He's living, like he changed. In this moment, here, Jesus literally breathed on the disciples and they lived again. Everything changed. How can we walk in the fullness? How can we walk through hard times? That is by being full of the power and the presence of the Spirit of God, the Holy Spirit. Now, this was just a taste. The fullness of the Spirit didn't come till Acts chapter 2. When we were kids, we would go to my grandma's a lot, and my grandma was a great cook. And my mom, well, Yeah, not so much. It wasn't her gifting, cooking, at all. It was not even about her gifting. It's a miracle we survived. There's a Christmas she decided she was gonna make us chicken parm. I'm like, this sounds way out of your wheelhouse. We took one bite, I'm telling you, it was as raw on the inside as you could ever imagine. I'm like, Mom, let's just stick to what we know. Let's go out to eat. We'd go to my grandma's, and she was one of the best cooks ever. And one of the things she would do is, if she was making something, she would let you, like, try it. She was making a cake. She would say, hey, here, try this. My brother would always try it when it was still on the beater. I'm like, you can't do it, man. It's going to hurt your tongue here, but it's my brother. We're used to it. But we would take like a lick of the cake and then, right? It wasn't the fullness yet, but it was a taste of what was to come. In this moment, Jesus was saying, listen, I want to give you a taste of what is about to happen. You followed me. You've loved me. I have work for you to do. Let me show you how amazing the Holy Spirit is going to be. And he gave them a preview of what was to come. The reason I know this wasn't the fullness of the Spirit, because after he appears to Thomas, then it says a week later, they were in the same place hiding. The Holy Spirit is about giving you power and boldness. Not power and boldness to be obnoxious and to tell everyone that they're going to hell. No, power and boldness to speak the truth of who Jesus is. Now, there is a time where we have to speak truth. That's all the time. And just because Jesus is about love and forgiveness and restoration, it doesn't change that his word is also final. Jesus was telling them, listen, you're going to go out and you're going to show people what it is to serve me. You're going to model what it is to have a relationship with Jesus. Let me ask you a hard question today. If someone looks at your life, are you modeling for them what it looks like to serve Jesus? Let me ask you parents a hard question. This is not me condemning anyone. Only you can answer this. I'm not. If your kids were to look at your life, would they say, "And my mom and dad were a good representation of what it is to serve Jesus"? We all in this room have fallen short. I feel like Paul sometimes, and I must be the chief sinner here because I mess up more than I want to. I make mistakes. But I also know that my only source is Jesus, through the power of his Spirit. God wants to use you today. God has a plan for your life. But some of you need to be restored back to him. Some of you need to be recommissioned, right, back into service. Some of you need to continue to walk in the calling he's placed in your life. Nowhere in the word does it say it's going to be easy. Nowhere in this book does it say, follow Jesus, you'll never have problems again. No, the Bible I read says the opposite. In Matthew 24, Jesus is giving the Olivet Discourse, and he tells them, be prepared. Things are going to get worse. This is before he returns. I think we need to prepare our hearts for no matter what comes. I'm going to live for you. No matter what happens, I'm going to serve you. No matter how hard things seem, we're going to live for you. And we're going to raise our kids to love you. And we're going to live in our community to make a difference for Jesus. We're going to do this thing, not because it's a hobby or because it makes me feel better. No, I'm going to do this because I believe Jesus is my only source to truly encounter God. Because of that, I'm going to surrender my life to him. What is he asking of you today? Could you bow your head and close your eyes, please? Can we just take a 30 seconds today? Could you just examine your heart? Where are you at in your walk with the Lord? Where are you at in your walk with Jesus? 30 seconds, and we'll come back, we'll pray. If you're here today and you need to surrender your life to Jesus, maybe for the first time, maybe you need to rededicate your life back to him. and you realize there are things in your life that God wouldn't be pleased in, and you just say, Matt, I need forgiveness today. In your life, we teach repentance. It's more than just a prayer. It's a turning of our life to be more like him. If you're here today and you would say this, you need to make things right with Jesus. No one's looking around. It's personal. I'll be the only one who will see, and I won't embarrass you. But if you need to just say, God, forgive me. I'm sorry. If that's you, would you just slip a hand up today? Yep, I see your hands. Yep, there are hands. I got you. Thank you. Thank you. That's beautiful. Thank you very much. Anyone else that you put a hand up, you can right back down. I got you. Thank you. Thank you over here. Anyone else? Awesome. You can put your hands down. Secondly, you have a situation that's really testing your faith right now. And just as we're not going to ask you to do anything, but sometimes it's good to just give that acknowledgement. Man, I'm believing God for a miracle, but you need a miracle in an area of your life. If that's you, would you just slip a hand up today? You need a miracle. Yeah, there are literally hands all over the place. Could you do this? Could we stand to our feet today? And they're going to lead us in one more song. And we're going to give you the opportunity, if you want or need prayer, it's very biblical to pray one for another. There's no pressure in this. If a bunch of people respond or no one responds, we're good, right? We believe that Jesus is the Son of God. We believe that praying one for another is powerful. So if you know you are, if you're on our prayer team today, would you just come forward? I know we got a lot of people out of town today, but I know we have some here. We would love to pray with you. So if you need prayer for anything, during this song, you can respond and we'll pray with you and we'll believe with you and we'll pray God that'll perform a miracle in your life. Let's pray. Jesus, we love you. Thank you for everyone that's represented here today. God, you are so good. Would you move in our hearts? Would you move in our lives? In Jesus' name we pray.